All right, we'll open the Green Cove Springs Planning and Zoning Board meeting for Thursday, March 26, 2015, at 5 o'clock. Anyone wishing to address the Planning and Zoning Board regarding any topic on this evening's agenda requested to complete a card available at the clerk's desk. Speakers are respectfully requested to limit their comments to 3 minutes. The Planning and Zoning Board prohibits the use of cell phones and pagers which emit audible sound during all meetings, with the exception of law enforcement, fire, rescue, or health providers on call. All right. Item number one is roll call.
Board Member Lewis?
Here.
Board Member Spurrier?
Here.
Chairman Kelly?
Here.
City Attorney Arnold?
Here.
Development Services Director Fleet?
Here.
Board Member Austin and Vice Chair Haddock and City Manager Judd are all three absent. You have a quorum.
All right. Next, do we have a motion to approve the minutes of the PNC meeting February 26th?
Yes.
I'll make a motion.
I'll mention. Would you tell them or I will?
Whatever, I'll tell them.
I'll second that.
Okay. They said even though I wasn't here, still second. That's what I always said. I'll second it.
All right.
It's going to go back and forth.
Take
turns. Roll call.
Board Member Lewis?
Yes.
Board Member Spurrier?
Yes.
Chairman Kelly?
Yes.
Vote passes 3-0.
All right. And next we open the public hearing.
Mr. Chairman, can I just make a quick announcement? Janice and I were just discussing this. Marilyn's mom died. I'm sure that's the reason she's not here. I didn't know whether everybody knew that.
All right. And then we'll open the first public hearing. An ordinance of the City of Green Cove Springs, Florida, amending the future land use map for 140 acres of property located east of Oak Ridge Avenue 15A and south of Green Cove Avenue, identified as tax ID parcels number 01.
You don't need to read it all, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, just to let you know, this parcel here, which we call the Gustafson Park, the Gustafson Regional Park, is part of our Green Cove Springs Nature Preserve Phase 3. It's a big triangle park. Last month, you approved the land use and zoning for the long linear piece.
I was just telling her. She was trying to watch you,
okay,
Janice. I'm sorry.
I was trying to hold it where you could see it. Anyway, so this triangle piece is what the rezoning is for in the land use change. This property, as with the one that we discussed last month, was purchased, what we call it, was Florida Community Trust property. And the requirement is, as part of our requirement of our grant, was to change it to change the future land use map as well as the zoning to what we call a recreation conservation category. And so we are going through that. We are also going through the annexation process. We're doing a kind of a three-tier. We are because of the size of the acreage, it has to go to Tallahassee to be reviewed. It's about a 30-day review period. So basically, you're sitting as the LPA for the land use amendment to make a recommendation to council. Council will also be transmitting this they'll be having a meeting on April 7th. They will also be having the first reading of the annexation of that parcel. It'll then be annexed on April 21st, and the FLUM amendment, the Future Land Use Map Amendment, as well as the rezoning, will come back for second and final sometime in May after we get review comments from the county. But the only plan can be recreational facilities. We have a master plan that we've done that was done originally for the grant, but it's going to, which I have a copy of the original, that parcel. You can see what was planned. I think y'all have seen it before. But we are going back and going to amend our management plan with FCT to scale it down. Originally, in the last couple of months, there was some talk with the county to try to come up with use some of the funds that they had available for recreation, as well as a private-public partnership to create a regional park. But the county has told the city they were not going to, this was not going to be on their funding list. So, you know, we did maintain Spring Park, so that's, I guess, a good, you know, take the good with the bad. But so we feel that since we might as well go ahead and rezone it. We purchased the property in 2011, and every year we tell Florida Community Trust that next year we're going to we're going to annex it and change the land use. And the reason we need to annex it and change the land use is if we did it through the county, we'd be just like any other applicant, and there would be thousands of dollars of fees in the county for us to do this change to recreation or conservation, while, you know, it's general fund to general fund, so there's not really an impact. The only impact on our budget is the advertising cost. So that's it. And I know you have some public. I don't know if they have any other questions. If you do, you need to come to the podium.
If you have any questions, please step to the podium.
What do you plan on?
Your name and address,
please, for the record. Sorry. My name's Crane Hackett. I live at 873 Cook Lane, right over the railroad tracks. Mm-hmm. What do you plan on putting in that park?
We have to have a minimum of 4 facilities to meet the grant requirements initially, and the master plan included some soccer fields, some tennis courts, a skateboard park, but it's going to be scaled down to probably some trails, possibly some playground equipment, and maybe some open fields. That's more what it's probably going to end up being, just because of the expense that it would cost the city to develop it and maintain it. But that's kind of what we're talking. And there's going to be certain areas that are going to have to be maintained. There is some wetlands on the property, so they're going to have to be maintained in their current existence. We've taken down 2 of the houses, and I think in the next year we'll be taking down all the remaining houses on the parcels that are closer to the railroad track.
Now, are you going to put up the people that live by the railroad tracks? Are you going to put up a wall?
I don't think there's no. As of right now, I don't think there is any intent to do that. I mean, and when we actually get into the design and master planning, that'll come before council, probably come before this board also, and we can make sure that anybody that has expressed interest in it, such as you, will make sure you. I mean, it's publicly, but I can make sure Ms. Kim Kemp's your information separate, so that if a meeting comes up about the master planning, we'll make sure you're notified about it. Because we did send letters, just for the record. We posted the property with orange signs. We put it out in the paper, as well as we sent letters to people within 300 feet. We don't have to do that on a master plan, but I will personally make sure that we keep your name and information, so if we do have any future meetings on the actual master planning, that you're notified.
I have a question. Were you concerned about security?
Yes, ma'am.
Of the railroad track? Is that why you asked?
Mm-hmm. Because, like, we live right there.
Uh-huh.
Because I know y'all bought that land, and we live, like, right there by the railroad track.
Uh-huh. Okay, so you're concerned about a play park, for instance, and
with
the railroad track.
Yeah, because it's
being so close.
Vandalism and thieves and...
Oh, you mean the houses that are already there?
Yeah.
Oh, well, those are going to be taken down.
Yeah. Ours.
Oh, you're afraid
that
it's going to generate people
okay,
that have come vandalize your property, yeah.
Okay, you're on the other side of railroad tracks.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Okay. Yes, ma'am. And there's another house, too, and another house, because we live on that private drive right there.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's going to be city-owned, and it's going to be city-maintained, and it's going to be city-secured to the extent that we're required to do that, just like anybody else would if they put in a recreation park or anything else. You would think it would be safer because it's owned by the city rather than previously when it was owned by private individuals and there were dilapidated houses there, and who knows what was going on the property through the years, you may know. But
yeah.
Hopefully it would be as secure as City Hall or the police department or anywhere else, because
unless
the city would...
How long it takes the police department to get out to our house, it takes some 25 minutes.
I think are you in the county or the city? Are you within the city limits of the county? Yeah, you're in the county. We'll talk to you about annexation.
You might want to annex. Our response time's like...
5 minutes?
4 minutes or 5 minutes. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's one of the reasons that we are annexing this property, then our own police force can patrol it, which will be better. Right now, our police force doesn't really have jurisdiction over property that the city owns. Am I correct, Mr. Attorney? Yeah.
Thank you.
No problem. We appreciate you coming.
Anybody else have any questions for the board? So we'll close that public hearing.
Mm-hmm.
And do we have have a motion.
Well, let's discuss.
Do we need a motion or do we?
Any discussion? Do you have any?
No, I'm fine because it looks like it's the property probably cleared and maintained in a better than what it is today.
And everything we do, just so you know, because it was purchased with Florida Community Trust grant funds, needs to not only be approved, obviously, by the city council, who is the owners of the property, but also by Florida Communities Trust. And they have to go back to our original application. They have to go back to the grant requirements, the bonds that were sold to, for, by the state to purchase this property. So there's a lot of restrictions. We, Mr. Arnold and I spent a lot of time reading all those again when we were looking at other options. So this can't just, we can't, the city can't just go out and do what they want. There's a lot of reviews and approvals that has to get through before we could ever develop it.
Well, it's going to be such an improvement
yeah.
to what's there now, so, and safety issues, too.
If the city had unlimited funds or had millions of dollars in reserve to deal with something like this, it could be a very large type park, recreation, and so forth. That's what we were trying, again, I think we all know, to get the money from the county for. So, as Janice has said, it's going to be much smaller scale. Down the road, at any time we get further grants and things of that sort, if the council wants to take on additional additions to it or whatever, then that would be their call in the future.
Sure.
We have to have some minimum things done for the grant, and that's what Janice was addressing.
And it would be like a different park than like the Vera Francis and like the Ed Stanfill and all that kind of stuff like that. So it'd be like an additional, in the future if there were ball fields.
Yes.
It's larger, isn't it?
Yeah, this is 140 acres. I think Vera Francis is about 30, I want to say.
Yeah, this is going to be large.
Yeah, this is very large. This is, that's why we, that's why we talked to the county, because it is really a regional. The size of 140 acres, and when you're doing park planning, is considered a regional park. So that's why we had, and it's still in the future. Who knows? We, you know, the county, the, it could be a joint venture with the county to help us build it, because they don't really have any large county facilities around here.
The council's concern, because I've heard it, is that not just putting in the different amenities and whatever you might have there, but it's then the maintenance cost and taking care of them and then running it and supervising it. Those are where the bigger costs keep adding up, and sometimes you don't, you know, you may not think of all of those up front, but we have to, and that's what they're doing, and that's why they can't just go spend, you know, $1 million on that place, because it's just, it's no different than some of the other things that we've taken on, and they tend to be expensive down the road, as we all know. So
you have a lot of grants are available for capital improvements, the actual building, the facilities. There are none or very limited for operation and maintenance. And, you know, once you build it, something, you don't want it, then that's when it becomes the vandalism and things like that. So you want to make sure probably what we build is going to be very basic, that doesn't need a lot of operation and maintenance. But obviously if it's a city facility and a city park, our police department will be, they'll be patrolling it, which they don't do it now, is the best way of saying it. I hate to bother you. It's just that we have to be, by state statute and local code, we have to record everything, so we need to hear what Miss Kim would kill me when she can't get.
Green Hatfield again. The freeway's coming in there, too.
Yeah.
Are you right?
It's coming in south of there. It's coming in south of there, yes. Yes. It's.
So you can just come over the railroad tracks and buy all our land, too, right there?
It would be nice. I don't think so. But we'll, I don't think. I'll defer to the city attorney on that one.
I'm joking.
Yeah.
Okay. How far south is it going to be?
Approximately,
do you know?
You know what? If you give me, after
that's
the
okay.
public hearing, I have maps that show, and usually they're in here. So I can run to Beth and get you something.
See how far
something.
South it's
going to
be.
But I can grab you a map before we close. For the end of the meeting.
Have you seen a map, ma'am? Have you seen the map of where it's going? Okay.
Yeah. I'll
want to stick around and she could show you the map.
Okay.
Yeah, I've got a map in my office. I just got to run over there.
Okay.
Or.
Any more discussion?
I'm good.
And then now do we close the public hearing?
Or? Yep.
All right, close the public hearing. Do we need to.
Yeah, you need to, this, you are, for the future land use map, you're making a recommendation to council, as city council, for this ordinance, for the flume designation, because you are the local planning agency required by state statute. You have been designated it.
I'll make the motion.
Second.
to recommend to City Council the adoption of an ordinance amending the FLUM, F-L-U-M, designation for the properties with tax ID. I need to read these all in the record. Okay. To REC and Recreation.
You can just say I make the motion as outlined in the staff report to recommend, and that's for the record, it's fine.
All right, as outlined in the staff report.
I'll second that. That's a lot of numbers.
Roll call.
Board Member Lewis?
Yes.
Board Member Spurrier?
Yes.
Chairman Kelly?
Yes.
Vote passes 3-0.
I might even add, Mr. Chairman, a lot of times you go to other meetings, the county commission does it and other folks do it, where they just say, I move the item for approval. I mean, they do it as simple as that. It's really up to y'all, whatever y'all are comfortable doing.
Okay.
I'm not comfortable with this.
While y'all are starting it, I'll wait. So if I'll go get, after you finish this item, I'll go get the map before we do the next item. So I could show the map that the public wanted to see.
Okay, we can do this one.
This one is a companion zoning,
yeah.
So.
All right, so we'll move on to the public hearing number two.
Jimmy
here. All right. And then we'll read that off of there. So we open.
This is actually, I don't think it's okay.
Public hearing file number 2015-PZ-07. And we will open it for if anybody has any comments for the board. So please step to the podium. The comments, should I wait for
Yeah.
Was she going to do something on this item?
Does she need to comment?
I guess she said this is just a companion. You've done the land use, which is part of the total rezoning process, and this is just a more specific rezoning.
Mm-hmm.
But it's essentially the same. It's a little different legally.
Yeah, we'll wait this to close this one.
We're waiting on you to make
well,
a motion
we
to approve
didn't know
that
what,
You didn't need them to wait on you, did you?
It's still
No.
Okay, good.
I figured you could handle it. It was a companion rezoning.
They thought you wanted to...
This is just a companion rezoning for... Yes.
Okay, are we ready for a motion for the... Okay, I recommend the City Council the adoption of an ordinance rezoning properties with the tax IDs as stated, and for Recreation.
I'll second it. Roll call.
Board Member Lewis?
Yes.
Board Member Spurrier?
Yes.
Chairman Kelly?
Yes.
Vote passes 3-0.
We'll close the public hearing and move to...
If you want, but so the public doesn't, if they're more than welcome to stay, but since the next items aren't the ones, I was going to show her the map map.
Sure.
Just, it gives you some frame of reference, if you don't mind. Mr. Chairman, just take us out of order a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I just need to close that public hearing first, or is it done?
We did that before.
The orange line that is on this map,
mm-hmm.
So that is the line of the First Coast Expressway. The parcel, and I'll get it close to you, you can see it, that we're rezoning is this triangle piece here, so it's substantially south of there. And the interchange is going to be down here on 7th Street.
By 209 South.
Yeah.
So that's coming off right there by, right there where it's very dark and on the old street.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, the next public hearing is file number 2015-PZ-09.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. This is what we commonly call Magnolia Cove, and it goes back to 2007. The property was originally where Pyramid Moldings was, right kind of straight ahead if those properties weren't there at the corner of Magnolia and Bay. And the developers back in 2007 got a PUD approved to build townhomes and condominiums. And at that time, the highest density that we had in the city in 2007 was 12 units per acre, and that's what that property was, residential high density. Since that time, a couple things have happened. First, everybody knows what's happened with the ups and downs of the economy. That's number one, which has slowed. They've tried a couple different times to get the project moving. But more importantly, from the city side, is we have adopted two land use categories of increased density over the 12 units. We have the rentals, mixed-use rentals park, which we commonly call the MERP, but which we did a specific zoning for Reynolds Park, and I think some of you were on the board when we spent a lot of time in 2009 on it. And that allows, based on certain other requirements, you could go up to 40 units per acre. So when we were, so that kind of broke, I guess you could say, the ceiling of our 12 units per acre every time in the city. And then when we were going through the year-based amendments in 2011, we realized that you had some properties that it were next to the properties on the river that could go up to 20, that would be allowed up to 40 units an acre, but they only would, again, be only limited to 12. And we thought that was a real disparity. That's a big difference in development potential. So we came up with the residential riverfront land use category, and at that time, because there was already a planned unit development for Magnolia Coast, we kind of, I guess you could say, we used our base ceiling at 10 units per acre, because there was a concern, and I know some of you were on the board at the time, that we did not want to create a category that would allow property owners to purchase some property and along the river in our old section of the city along St. John's Avenue and create condos, because that happens in other communities. So we felt, well, we looked at the properties and we said all the properties that would be good potential residential riverfront were, and we can pull up a map if you want to show the areas, were the areas off of 16 next to Reynolds Park, and they were all over 10 acres. So we used the 10 acres as a base ceiling for that residential riverfront. Well, in the meantime, we've talked to the property owners and the developers for Magnolia Cove, and who have 7.3 acres, and trying to make this project work, they said they need more units per acre to make it work. So what we've come up with is created a new land use category called mixed use, residential riverfront Magnolia Cove, tied to their particular tax ID parcel, that will allow on that parcel 20 units per acre, but it would not open it up to any other parcels that currently do not have the potential of having residential riverfront. So be limited to them, and hopefully then, and the other requirement that would be as part of that was that they would have to develop the parcel as a PUD. So the language that is added, I'm looking for the language that is going to be, would be added to the comprehensive plan, I guess for this one, would be that we would amend, it's a text amendment, amending policy, and I got to make sure they're in the right order, that we do the text amendment first, so I might have to, we would amend the text to create a new category called Residential Riverfront Magnolia Cove, and we would amend our comprehensive plan policy 1.6.1 to add a number 5, which would say Residential Riverfront Magnolia Cove is 12.1 units per acre to 20 units per acre. This category is for property identified in the Clay County Property Appraiser in the 2015 tax roll as RE Parcel 017494-000-00. It is located on the St. John's River and can be developed for single-family, duplex, multifamily dwelling units, and a marina, and shall be developed through planned unit development through the planned unit development zoning category process. So that would tie it to that particular property. The companion, the future land use map amendment would then be recommending the change to that new category from residential high density to residential riverfront Magnolia Cove. And they would have to come back, and the developers know that, with a PUD, Plan Unit Development, because if you remember when we went through the exercise, when we were trying to come up with zoning for residential riverfront, we kind of decided that it was that we height and side yard setback was not as important as what something looked like, and so we required them to go through the PUD process. So this is no different than any other parcel that is in the residential riverfront having to go through the PUD process. And that's what we are we're reviewing today. So actually the first, I think, is actually, I just want to keep get them in order because you got to do the text amendment before you do the flume amendment. And I just want to make sure we get the right ordinances first.
Yeah, I think my paper one for that order.
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah, because I was looking for it. Yeah.
Sorry.
That's all right. Yeah, 08, should, we need 08 before 09.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes. So
public hearing for file number 2015-PZ-08 is the text amendment. And do we
open the public hearing?
Open the public hearing. Does anybody have any comments for the board? Could they please step to the podium?
The representative of development is here if you had any questions. But I'm sure he doesn't want to speak unless you have any questions.
Well, I have some questions.
Okay.
Would you come up and state your name?
Sure. Pat Leroy. I live in Magnolia Point, and I work for Watson Realty.
And state your name. Address. Address.
Yeah.
1909 Medina.
Okay. Is this really close to being developed? Or is this just getting all the groundwork?
When we bought this property back in 2008, we were ready to do something at the time, but the market tanked, as everyone knows.
Sure.
And if everybody can remember, we had prices out there for phenomenal looking townhomes, but they were up in the $800,000 range. Those days are gone.
Yeah.
In order to make this a feasible development, we have to be able to price it in today's market. So that's why we're looking for the density increase to do it.
Yeah.
I think what they're talking about is doing a set of flats on the river. I don't know if you've seen any kind of preliminary plans or anything, but they were looking at doing three buildings, flats on the rivers, and I think those would be more townhomes than they would be condos. The flats would be 10 in the building, 10 in the building, and 8 in the third building. And the clubhouse and the pool, and then the marina would be straight between the units of 10 and 8. Again, this is strictly preliminary. Behind that, there would be a 5-story condo with parking underneath. I see the 5 or 6 story. I think we've been approved for 6 stories, haven't we, Janice?
Right now, when you change your category,
change it. We're back to the drawing board again.
You can tell us. We're in negotiating mode.
With the condos, with parking underneath, so everybody in the condos would have a balcony with a river view. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's going to be a nice thing. We were setting it up originally as a old style Florida design, and I think we'll probably wind up staying with that same style. Uh-huh. It'll blend in very, very well with the city. But that's what our, kind of like what our plans are. We have to go back to the architect and get everything drawn back up, you know, site plan, and then if everything's approved, then we're going to go with the different units, and prices are going to be in the range where people can afford them.
Okay.
Yeah, so we can sell them. Got to sell them. We don't sell them,
true.
We can't build them.
Well, that's true. Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Close the public hearing?
Any discussion?
Well, I kind of remember that one where you went over the one across from Magnolia, from Reynolds Park. In order to make it cost effective for the development, we raised the height of the buildings and the density in order to be able to make it cost efficient. And I do remember people complaining that, well, nobody would be able to see from Reynolds Park area to the river. But there's nothing in the Reynolds Park area right now to complain about. So, I mean, unless the people at the racetrack complain. But,
we'll get this in first and be an incentive.
Well, yeah, because I think this is a very good, any good development.
Mm-hmm.
Is helps the city and helps the population, and and increases the lifestyle in Green Cove.
It could go the other way. Maybe if this building's up and then the other one's built a building, it'll block Reynolds Park from view.
No, it's separate.
People that are across the street from this property have looked at a factory for how many years?
That's true.
Okay.
Many years.
So they're going to get a much, much better view. The curb appeal is going to be a lot better than what the factory was, for sure.
Okay. Absolutely.
And for point of information, when I was putting the zoning signs out, as we said, on the other, we mailed their signs up on the property. We mailed notices and we advertised it. But I was putting the zoning signs up, and the neighbors kind of came out and, you know, says, "Hey, you know, are you from the city?" "Yes." I mean, I walk. I usually take the city vehicle, but I just walk down there. And I told them what we were doing, and they go, "Oh, that's great. We're just looking forward to something happening. Is it really going to happen?" So that made me feel good that, you know, literally this person's right across the street on Bay Street and was excited that something was happening on that property.
There's a lot of people out there right now that are talking. That I've mentioned this to, and I've been talking about this since Jim did the closing on this, or you were part of that. Or, no, I'm sorry, you did Pyramid Molding closing. Right? But we've been talking about this since 2008. Just recently, this has all been brought back up, and we're looking at it again. I've got a lot of people showing interest in this. A lot of people my age, older, that are looking to downsize. A lot of people in Magnolia Point are looking to downsize. This is a perfect opportunity for these people.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a great tax base, and a great tax base to your tax base. Mm-hmm. You know? So, anyway.
And that's
also increase the tax base for surrounding properties.
And
it's going to bring up everybody's value.
You know, it also does, I don't mean to tell you that's what you really know, but the walkability of Green Cove, which is where we're supposedly heading down the future, you know, for all of us.
Yeah.
This is what Jacksonville is trying to accomplish, and now we might have it here.
And we still are talking, when we first did this project before, we were talking about the walkway that was going to go in front of Bay Street, now in front of our project.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing's changed there.
Well, that's required. That's going to be required as part of our SCT grant and everything else. You're going to have that.
And that's going to be a good thing for the condos also. You know, give the people the opportunity to walk to the park or walk over to the industrial area if it goes that far over. You know?
Since you get rid of Highway 17 right through town,
yep.
People don't like to walk that, and I don't blame them.
Right.
It's
good. Okay, good. Thank
and
you.
They'll come one day.
Huh?
That's going to happen one day.
Oh, yes. I have no more board comments. Do we have a motion for the proposal?
We have to close the public hearing officially.
Okay, officially close the public hearing. And
go ahead.
Do we have a motion?
I'll make a motion to recommend to the City Council the adoption of ordinance revising policy 1.6.1 as we have been discussing. That good enough?
That's fine.
Second.
Roll call.
Board Member Lewis?
Yes.
Board Member Spurrier?
Yes.
Chairman Kelly?
Yes.
Motion passes 3-0.
All right. public hearing is file number 2015-PZ-09.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Actually, your agenda is right. It's just we got put up in the wrong, but that's all right. Miss Kim did a great job because we were doing it and trying to get him done early, and city manager was called away, so she does a great job. We're not going to complain. this one is what, as I mentioned earlier, this is the companion future land use amendment. One of the good things that the legislature did when they revised their Comprehensive Plan Act, Growth Management Act in 2010, I think it was, or 12, they allowed if you had a text amendment, you were the 6-month process, it would take you forever to get it through, even if it was for a small, what we call a small scale amendment under 10. Now that we can, if the text amendment ties directly to the land use amendment, which is considered a small scale amendment, you can do them together. So that's why these are both tied together and they're going to run together to Tallahassee. This is the companion to change the land use property to the from residential high density to the residential riverfront Magnolia Cove, the category that you're recommending creating. Obviously, if the first one doesn't go, the second one won't go. But
okay, then we can open the public hearing if anybody within the audience would like to address the board regarding this. If there's nobody to address, does the board have any questions? Then we'll close the public hearing, then we'll do discussion.
I don't have anything. I think it's been explained very well, and I'm excited, and I hope it starts really soon.
Control. I need to get this
controlled. Yeah. It's been hanging around too long, so it's all in the economy and timing.
All right. And do we have a motion?
I'll make a motion to recommend to the City Council the adoption of the ordinance amending the Flown designation for the property as we have been discussing.
From residential high density to residential riverfront Magnolia Cove.
Right. Okay, I second it.
Okay, roll call.
Board Member Lewis?
Yes.
Board Member Spurrier?
Yes.
Chairman Kelly?
Yes.
Motion passes 3-0.
Next, any additional?
I have a couple things to go over. If you want board to come, you're on the next page. I don't know if the board first. You want me to go first? Y'all want to go first? Let's go, you guys first.
All right, we'll go to any board discussion comments?
I'm just curious how the condos are on Bay Street. Are they full?
There's one that is for rent on the second floor, Laura Letty's place.
And I think they're renting for like $1,600 a month.
Okay.
The one on the bottom floor, 103, was just sold as an REO. Really hurt the comps. Really hurt the comps.
What did it go for?
170. Mm. Remember, they paid $565 for these units.
Not all of them.
Three of them. And then the next one after that was $550. The three I sold were $375 down to $325. Yeah. So then, we do have the one on top, Jim Sherry's unit on the top right, and he paid $400 cash November 13, and now we're trying to get. I think he's down to $365 on that.
So their values are from 250 to 350-ish.
They're still in that 325 range. They're gonna stay in there. That REO shouldn't hurt them too bad. I mean, it depends on what appraiser is looking at them, you know. But they're okay. I think once this project starts over here, it's gonna strengthen the value of their properties. And we just need to get the little duplexes to conform along that road to conform and to, you know, fix them up a little bit. Make them fit right in. Mm-hmm. Right now they're, you know,
are those good. Individually owned?
They are individually owned. One of the builders in town owns, John Long owns a couple of them.
Mm-hmm. He owned all of them, obviously, at one time.
I'm not sure if he owned all of them or not.
I thought he did.
No. He owns two on one side, one on the other side. He might have. I'm not sure. But we're trying to get... His aren't too bad. There's a couple other ones that need to be looked at. And I guess once we'll start, you know, we'll put maybe a little pressure and try to get them to do something.
But only one of them's leased right now? Or?
No, I'm talking about the duplexes.
The duplexes that you go down to.
As you go down, our entrance is going to be between all the oak trees that are right there on the corner. We're going to save all of them. I see there's one down right now, but we're going to try to save all those oak trees if we can. And then our entrance will come through there, and then we'll have ample parking for everybody. Parking underneath the building and then parking for everybody else. And then the townhomes, the flats, they'll have their own garages attached. So, it'll be good. But Bay Street's already, they're sold. They've already all been sold out, but there's a few resales right now. They had an issue with the roof over there. When they built, Dreamfinders built that building before they were Dreamfinders. And built it in 2008, and in I think 2 years ago we had a roof issue, or a year ago we had a roof issue. So they had to come in there and fix the roof, and we had some water running down inside walls and stuff. But it's a concrete block building. It's not going anywhere. The roof was just not installed properly. So they came back and they did a whole new roof on the property. They repainted and resealed the entire building. So it looks good. It's just that the $300,000 and $350,000 range is a tough range anymore. Anything under $200,000 usually moves pretty good.
Yeah.
And that's probably going to be somewhere we set our prices for the condos.
Mm-hmm.
So. All right, guys. You need me anymore?
No, thank you.
Good evening.
And somebody will be here April 7th?
I'll be here.
Okay.
See you, Pat.
No board discussion. Staff comments?
Yeah, I've got a couple things. I'm going to pass out a copy of two land development regulation. I should have done last meeting, and I apologize, but regulation interpretation. As you know, when the council adopted some of the land use updates, there was concern sometimes with how things were interpreted. And I brought to you from time to time these LDR interpretations. Actually, people can request them for $100. Some of them we do internally, as I do, as I see there's a need. The code has always allowed the Development Services Director to write these, because when you write a code, you can't come up with everything. So this allows me some flexibility, but by putting it on, as you know, we bring it to y'all just for information. It does go on the council agenda, so nobody can question what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And that was some concern previously. I know Ms. Burrier had addressed it previously. So anyways, just to give you a little background, these were both requested by Reynolds Park, and they are, if you've noticed, a bunch of car tractors, trailers coming through town. They are leasing a large part of their run of the old runways for Kias to be stored there. They're coming from Brunswick and coming down, about 14,000 of them to be exact, if you can imagine. So there were a couple issues that needed to be addressed. One was they wanted to be able to have a temporary security trailer on the site. Obviously, you've got a lot of, if you figure 14,000 cars and whatever cars cost, you know, that's a lot of investment that you want to make sure isn't going to be vandalized and everything else. And we do address temporary construction trailers, but we really didn't address temporary security trailers. So that's what this first one would allow them to put a temporary security trailer for up to 3 years. And we're, you know, because if they're going beyond that, they need to be legit, I guess, is the best way to meet our code. So that is the first of the two. The second one has to do with actually the definition of development. In the last time, I think in 2008, they had these cars here also. And they used these kerosene or whatever kind of oil. I'm sure you see them, the lights that they use when they're working on highways, mm-hmm. very bright lights. But those were, they just roll them out, they put them wherever. Well, those were done there. They weren't connected to any city utilities, so we were not getting any utility funds related to that. And they were expensive, and they make noise and all kinds of other things.
Was
because
this their security? Is that what
no,
they
this
have?
Is for their lights, for their security, the lighting.
Oh. Okay.
But they use it's those same lights that you see that they have on the interstates when they're building, working them at night.
Mm-hmm.
So the issue was that our code requires underground utilities for when there's development. Therefore all our electric has to be underground. That's like Magnolia Point, everything's underground. Every new structure when you're building, we do them underground. And the amount of space that you can manage in parking 14,000 cars on the runway and just the composition of that runway, to have them develop all that underground for a limited time period is when we know the ultimate goal of Magnolia of Reynolds Park is to redevelop it. So all that stuff could be gone. So looking at the code, we really decided what they're doing. They're not doing any development. They're just parking cars, you know, and they're not really, it's all there. The runways have been there for, you know, since the 40s, I guess. So by defining them defining this use as not development, and it's temporary, it allowed them to pull permits to put light with overhead utility, overhead electrical lines. So now the city will, they will be connected to our electric department. We will get the utility fees. And again, we limit it to 3 years. If they're going to be there longer than 3 years, they need to meet our code. But we're going to give them, and they don't even know if they're going to be there for 3 months. So right. This gives them some opportunities. And so we felt it was a way to make some business sense, be business friendly, and promote economic development. But whenever I write these, even though Reynolds Park asked for it, anybody can fall into these same rules. So I have to limit it so that I know that it's not going to cause a problem. And then the next developer coming in says, well, I'm going to do overhead. I'm not going to do underground utility. So that's why we're able to, if you're actually building a structure, you got to go underground. But they're not building anything. They're just right. Plopping cars and moving cars. Right. So and they were very happy, and I think it's good for the city. So anyway, so these are two interpretations. You'll get two more next month that are coming to the council related to some signage issues. We're going to look at how we can address some of these windsock signs to make them legit, I guess you could say, in some respect. But on the other hand, give some flexibility. I'm going to kind of model after the way Jacksonville does them and how they interpret them. And then the other one is going to deal with which has been to the council before, some discussion about the property at 606 Spring Street, I think it is. And Mr. Arnold, in trying to be in compliance with state statutes on some housing for veterans, as well as meet our code. So we putting a lot of heads together, I think we came up with an alternative that will be good for everybody. But by going through the LDR interpretation process, everybody will know what's happening. If nobody is happy with it, then obviously the council. Well, a good example is with Pomus. If you remember, I did an LDR interpretation, and this board did not agree with it, and then we came back and did a code change. So that's these almost a lot. It kind of is a way to say, hey, if you don't like what I'm saying, which I don't, and that one I don't have a problem with it either, and none of these I have a problem either way. If you don't agree with me, that's fine. Let's just change the code. But if it's something that needs to be addressed, that there's some gray area that we need to. Tighten up, and this gives the opportunity for that to happen.
The city council basically has told the city manager as well as staff to be more flexible, to not be rigid, to be more business friendly. I think we always were. However, if we weren't ever before, I promise you we were heading that direction, and that's a good thing. And that word will get out, and it'll help us all in the long run. Well, everybody won't agree with everything, I can assure you, because that's just not the way it ever happens. But more than one person looks at these things Janice is doing, and I think they're all for the good.
Yeah. Oh, I totally agree. Just what we did for Magnolia Cove. I mean, you've got to work with them. You've got to make it economically feasible for them to be able to build.
And to give the difference between what I did for Magnolia Cove compared to what I'm doing with these LDRs, that is specific to them. That if somebody else has 7 acres and wants to build 20 units acres, they're going to have they don't get the right. They're going to have to come back and look at that particular property. So that's the difference.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, so that's it. Just a couple of other things. We did hire a part-time code enforcement officer, and I'll try that. I didn't think about it, but maybe your next meeting I'll have her. She works part-time from 9:30 to 2:30, but maybe the next our next P&Z, and hopefully I'll remember, maybe Kim can remind me, is I'll have her switch her hours so that she can come to this meeting and just meet y'all and you can meet her. Mm-hmm. She's actually a planner by profession, and she's she was in Japan working for the Navy. I mean, she's got some good experience, but she's really jumped in and dealt with some of the issues. I know Mr. Arnold's had some discussion with her, that's real positive, and I think it'll be good.
What is her name?
Marcy James, and her email.
J-A-N-E?
James, J-A-M-E-S. Her email is mjames@greencoastsprings.com, and she sits actually in Kim's old area where the old PHA is. But anyway, so I think she's a real good addition to our staff, and I think the city. I think she'll be. I mean, she's really already jumped in.
Mm-hmm.
and dealt with some of our long-term issues, so which is good. Also, I spent the last 2 days, the council approved a clerk typist position in development services because Ms. Kim got moved to be the executive, which she was, but now she's permanently up in front of the executive assistant to the city manager. She's still going to be our clerk here for the meetings, but putting the packets together and all that, she's not going to be responsible for anymore when we hire the new clerk typist. So we're looking forward to that, and that'll give us some backup because, and it went to council because basically now if Maria's out, it's Paul and I are, you know, covering him. Mm-hmm. I mean, and business is booming. Paul has, I mean, we have, I think at one point I know we've issued a bunch more, but we've issued over 60 single-family, or we're probably up to 70 now, of single-family dwelling unit permits since October, really most of them since November. Mm-hmm. Probably about 40 of them in Magnolia West. Mm-hmm. Those, they say they can, that's D.R. Horton, they cannot build them fast enough. They are mm-hmm. selling because they're in the 170 price point range. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying it's those houses people probably will live in for 50 years, but for a starter house, they're a good price point. I think your daughter lives out there. Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's a couple of our police. They're fine.
That's better than what I live in.
Right. I mean, they're three and four bedrooms.
Single wide trailer.
Yeah, they're at least three bedrooms. Yeah, three bedrooms, two baths. Some of them are four bedrooms. I mean, you know, they're nice. As the business friendly, just a couple of points, because I think I've told the council, on this, or I've put it in my monthly reports to council. D.R. Horton, who is developing all of Magnolia West, they were paying per house for a private inspector because of which the Florida statute allows you to do. And it's about $700-$800 per dwelling unit that they were having to pay or pass on to, which is what they're doing, onto the property owner, the ultimate homeowner, for private inspections to be more responsive to get, because they were not getting, because they moved these things so fast, they were not getting responsive inspections from the county. And I'm not saying from us, I'm saying throughout the county where they have their other development. Magnolia West, they are not doing that because Paul, who now is our building official, as you know, mm-hmm. is doing such a great job that they're very happy. And it was funny because Ray Crosby, who's their project manager, came by our office the other day to drop up four more plans. Okay, how many got this week?
Yeah.
And paying for some. But he had nothing but positive things about how quickly we process. I mean, we try to turn around any new house within 2 weeks, mm-hmm. And even less. And the county, I know it because we were having to wait in their queue for plan review. It was taking a minimum of 30 days.
Wow.
And that time is money for a contractor. I mean, you know that. So we're real excited about that. Magnolia Point Phase 8A. We've permitted probably about 8 or 10 houses in there. And they're moving quick. That's all. That part has been platted, and they're moving. They're moving. I know that you said there's a meeting about it, but yes. So that's all. And that's all Dreamfinders. Mm-hmm. And then in addition, Dreamfinders has a relationship with Governor's Point to build the houses up there. And believe it or not, he says the houses. I reviewed last night from the land development side, and Paul's reviewing now a house with a three-story house with an elevator. Were a value of $735,000 in Green Cove Springs. So that you know, tells you where
that... Does that include the lot?
I'm assuming that, But that's, you know, we haven't had any... I'm not aware that there's been many that events since I've been around of that, you know, then it, you know, which is really good to know. And I can't imagine they're building it spec. I might, you know, I don't know, but it would seem that those are probably pre-sale. But mm-hmm. because a lot of the ones in Magnolia Point have already been sold. Mm-hmm. So that's exciting. To have things like that happen, and so and we also, that if you remember, there was a PUD that added five more lots to Governor's Point on which used to be a house on the south end. They just went through the platting process at the beginning of March because they had to develop some of those lots because they're two riverfront lots there. So you know, so those should be moving too. So, I mean, there's a lot happening, which is positive, and what's good is that when the rooftops come in, then the commercial comes, because it...
Well, and schools, because, you know, Saratoga Heights now, there was something about some swapping with the school board, with the prospect of building an elementary school out there, which was years and years ago.
Oh,
when,
yeah.
When were they talking about Saratoga Heights, and they had all this...
Saratoga Springs,
yeah. Is it Springs or Heights? I thought it was Saratoga Heights.
It was Saratoga Springs, but that was probably probably at least 10 years ago.
Was it? Yeah, probably has been. And then the economy went down, and then they just didn't do anything. But they had a lot of things planned for out there.
Yeah.
And that Magnolia West is right in the middle of it.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know what point, but they do have the land now out there.
Mm-hmm.
The school system does.
Yeah, so we're real excited about what's happening. Mm-hmm. You know, it's exciting because, you know, we've got people looking at commercial property and mm-hmm. things are happening.
Mm-hmm.
The First Coast Outer Beltway is moving with land acquisition. I know that because they bought one business out and they've already moved. Another business is trying to relocate within the city, which is we're working hard to get them to stay in the city. We obviously don't want them to move out of the city.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, so things are happening. And the rest of Magnolia West is under design to build out, it's another 315 lots, because it'll be a total of 575 lots in all of Magnolia West when it's developed.
Doesn't look like it's that big, does it? 315?
Just north of Magnolia West, I saw a rezoning sign out there.
And that's in the county?
Just in the county?
Yeah.
That's on Perry Road, I think, wasn't it? Out in there? From Magnolia West?
No, it was on the... 315A, down by the Crossmill Silos.
No, that's the school. That's where the proposed elementary school.
Because they have a big zoning sign that's got to deal with that.
Yeah, they have to rezone or fill out for schools in the county.
It's crazy.
Well, it's not crazy. It's good.
Well, no, I forget that there are that many people over there. But too, we don't get 4% of our customers from that one.
Well, you know what?
Yeah, I'm done. I'm sorry.
Okay. Sorry. We were on a tangent.
Yeah.
All right, then we were, any other comments?
I hope I didn't rattle, but I like, you know, ramble a little bit, but I think y'all like to hear what's happening.
Oh,
hopefully
you
like to hear what's happening.
Thank you for bringing all that in. Yeah.
I just remember in 2009 on Google Earth, you got about 5,000 cars parked out there on the runway. And it was conspiracy.
Yeah, that's it.
They're all white vans.
And then that's it. We can adjourn. The next meeting will be held Thursday, April 23rd, 2015 at 5 p.m.
Thank you. Have you been following what happened with that?